All right. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God this morning. How's everyone doing with the whole fall kickoff thing? That's exactly how I'm feeling. Right? I don't know about you guys, but life has just gotten, it kind of went from, you know, end of summertime was a little bit of busyness kind of getting ready, and then it went whoosh. Right? And the busyness of fall is full swing right now. We have all the activities kicked off now, boys and everything. And oh my goodness, it feels like time is just tick, 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 ticking away. And the calendar went from like large gaps of white to lots of colors on every hour of the day, just about. It's incredible how busy life has gotten in the last couple of weeks. It's one of those things, whenever we get into a time like this, we always get into, conversations about time management. How do we better manage our time? How do we better, utilize our time? How do we redeem the time, maybe? But let me ask you a question this morning. How do you actually perceive time? How do you think about time? And I think at different points in our life and different seasons of our life, we think about time differently. You know, when I was young, I thought, man, I got nothing but time. I got all the time in the world to pursue all the dreams I want to, all the things that I could see happening in my life. I got so much time in front of me. I think sometimes when we get older, we start to feel like, man, my time's almost up. And we look back at our time, maybe with gladness of opportunities we've had, maybe with regret that we didn't do more. When we're in a season of midlife, I think there's a moment where we feel like we have no time, because you're just running to everything, whether you're busy at work, whether you're busy in your family, whatever you're busy with, you are like nonstop going, so time just feels like there's never really enough. When we're having fun, time seems to fly by. When we're struggling, time seems to really slow down. When we're a season of suffering and hardship, things just, they drag on. Maybe you're feeling like this illustration is just dragging on, and you're suffering through it right now. I don't know. But time feels a little different depending on the kind of season we're in. But time also tends to cause anxiety in our lives, in how we're exactly interacting with time at any given time. This week I was reminded of a time when I was catching a flight. I think I've told the story before, but if you haven't heard it, here we go. I was catching a flight from Victoria over to Medicine Hat, and I was going with a buddy of mine who was going to pick up a car that his parents had picked up for him in Medicine Hat. And so we flew from Victoria, we had a stopover in Calgary, and then we were taking a little puddle jumper over to Medicine Hat so we could then drive this car back and have a fun road trip together. Anyways, we flew Victoria to Calgary. We're having a great time. We go grab something to eat in the airport because we had a bit of a time in our layover. And we're just kicking back, and as we're sitting there in one of the lounges in Calgary, I can't even remember what prompted it, but it suddenly dawned on us that Alberta is 1 hour ahead of BC. And all of a sudden we realized the long layover that we thought we had wasn't. And as we are literally running across the airport in Calgary to get to our gate, we're hearing the announcement, final call, right? For our flight, paging passengers. Have you ever had your name on those things? Doesn't that feel awful? Paging passengers. Anyways, so we did just make it to our flight in time. But man, oh man, just the stress of going, we have no time. We need to get there right now. And when we are in a time of busyness, when we feel like we have no time, oftentimes it translates out of just our circumstances and into feeling a real sense of hurry. And an anxiety that gets a little deeper than just the stuff that's going on around us, but it's actually a condition of our heart. So the question I want us to consider this morning as we come to the Word of God is, how do we deal with the chaos of our time? How do we find calm in the midst of the chaos of our time and maybe the busyness and maybe the hurriedness that we feel? How do we find God's calm in the midst of the chaos that we feel with regard to our time? So to do that this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 90. It's in your handout this morning. There's some sermon notes at the bottom, and the psalm is in there, or we'll have it on the screen for you. If you have your Bible here, your phone, you want to flip to it, feel free to open up there now. And let's just take a moment and pray to ask God to speak to us through his word, and then we'll dive in and read the psalm together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us. and that you meet us in really practical stuff that we're dealing with. Thank you that you speak deeply into our lives, and I just pray that this morning as we open up your word to read this psalm that was penned so many years ago, Lord, that you would just open up our eyes to see the things that you want us to see today in these words, that you would open up our ears to hear the whispering of your Holy Spirit, and that you would open up our hearts to be receptive to all that you want to say to us. Lord, may we hear your word this morning and not ours, not mine. May it be your word that we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're gonna read through all the words of the psalm twice. So we're going to read through it, and then as we go through the psalm, we're going to kind of read through it again just to make sure we get it, okay? So here we go, Psalm 90. This is a psalm of Moses, the man of God. That's how it's prefaced at the actual beginning of the psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Well, as we get into the psalm today, we're going to break it down into four parts as we think about this question of how do we find calm in the midst of the chaos of our time. And the first part is really just the first four verses that we focus on God. And so it starts off, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. So the first piece of this psalm encourages us to remember that God is eternal. Remember that God is eternal. He's been around throughout all generations, from everlasting to everlasting. Before the formation of the mountains, before the formation of anything that's been created, you are God. Think about that for a few minutes. Before anything else existed, you are God. I've been spending a little bit of this week just kind of meditating on the words of John 1, just the first couple of verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. From everlasting to everlasting, for eternity, you are God. That's a little hard to comprehend. He always was, he always will be. Before anything else was, he was. And after everything else is gone, he will be. Like, there's just no end. God is eternal. So we start out with this thought. Remember that God is eternal. And that is very much in comparison to us. We are not. In verses 5 to 10, we start to see our reality as compared to the reality of God. So he says, yet you sweep away people in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. We remember God is eternal, and we need to also recognize our reality. Our reality that we are limited. We are very limited. I love the illustration. It's like you're like the new grass of the morning. It springs up, boom. It's beautiful for the day. By evening, it's withered and dry, and it's gone. That's how quick it feels like. Especially when you start thinking of things in God's conception of time, where it says, for God, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. How many lifetimes of us is that? 1,000 years to God is like a day or a watch in the night. That's how quick it goes by. So we have, 70, maybe 80 years, maybe a little longer if you're exceptional, maybe a little shorter if something else happens. But we have this limited amount of time, and honestly, those days seem to just fly by. I know for us right now, at this time, this stage of life, it's one of those funny things. The whole kids thing really messes up your whole calendar of time. Because, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but for me, I don't feel like I've aged much since we actually started having kids. Because once you start having kids, all the birthdays that actually matter are their birthdays, right? You put all sorts of time into their birthdays. Your birthdays, I mean, my wife has done some amazing things for my birthdays, but they don't matter as much. The kids' ones matter. You mark out things by their progress, by when they start to walk, by when they go to school, by when they achieve this thing, by when they start to get into high school, and all these different markers along the way. But along the way, we're just neutral, right? We don't actually age during that time. I look in the mirror, and I think I still look the same as I did when I was like 23. You're laughing at that. Why are you laughing at that? Never, yeah. But it's this bizarre thing. But then you start to think back, when you start to think about dates, and you're talking to other people about dates, and you go, yeah, like I graduated high school over 20 years ago. When did that happen? Like, they're gone, right? I mean, I can think back to graduating now university, and I mean, that's almost 20 years ago. Time flies by. This short amount of time we have is, kind of like a wind tunnel. It's gone. Fast. Our time is very limited. It doesn't last long. And in the psalm, he's inviting us to recognize, well, God is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, we need to recognize our reality that our time is very much limited. Our lifespan is a lot quicker. And not only is it short, but it's also filled with struggle. Do you feel that in the lament of this psalm? Do you feel the pain of Moses writing these words, talking about the struggle of life that we feel? It's kind of a challenge to the superficial optimism we sometimes have. How you doing? I'm fine. How many times have you said that and really not meant it? We know that in this life there is a struggle. And that's not to say that there aren't lots of good times and good things that happen to us in life. I'm not trying to say that at all. But intermixed into our story, into every one of our stories, we feel the struggle of life. We feel it in our bodies with our health. We feel it in our relationships with breakdowns of communication. We feel it with seeing people who we love pass away. We feel it in so many ways. We feel the struggle of life. Now, the psalmist makes some pretty unpopular statements about this, and he starts talking about the wrath of God and how we're living out all our days under this wrath of God, that we're feeling this struggle, this tension in life because of the pouring out of the wrath and anger of God. Isn't that an encouraging thought? It might actually be, because then we know that it's actually still under God's control, under his hand. But what we need to realize is that our mortality and the impact and effect of sin in our world still is a reality that we face. It's still a fact that we face day in and day out. There is still the effects of sin that happened way long ago that we still are a part of, and we feel the effects of that day by day. This is a part of our struggle that we feel. Now, the good news is, as Jesus followers, we have a little different perspective on how this whole thing about God's wrath plays out. Because God's wrath ultimately was put onto Jesus when he died on the cross for us. The wrath of God, there's a song we're going to sing later on in the service. Till on the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. So here in the death of Christ I stand. Right? He took the wrath of God. He took the penalty for all that. So now, when we feel the struggle of life, it's not just the wrath of God that's coming on us. That was placed on Christ, but we do feel still the discipline of a loving Father who's trying to help us grow in him and grow in the grace and life he has for us. And we feel, in a sense, the already but not yet reality that we live in. See, already Jesus has come and died for us, proclaimed the kingdom of God is here. It's right here with us. And yet, it's not fully realized and fully lived out yet because we still have the effects of sin in the world. So we have this kind of pulling in two realities. Already Jesus has done this, but not yet is it totally fulfilled and seen in our world yet. And that's where we live. So we still feel the struggle of life even though Jesus has taken the wrath of God on himself. So, remember, God is eternal. Recognize our reality, that we are not. We are limited. We face struggle and suffering. So if that's true, if God is eternal and we are limited, how do we find calm in the midst of the time that we do have, in this limited amount of time we do have here on earth in this life? How do we find calm in the midst of the chaos we feel in our time now? Well, this is where the psalmist invites us to a reorientation of our thinking. And we see this in verses 11 and 12. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Statements of reorientation. Verse 11. I mean, really, both of these verses kind of function as the linchpin of this psalm, the turning point of this psalm. But verse 11 invites us to ask the question, if only we knew, if only we understood really what God is about, really what he's doing, if we only understood his wrath, if we only understood how we should actually live in fear of him and respect and reverence of him, if only we got this, if only we understood how things actually are, because we don't. If only we would understand more fully that God is eternal and we are not. That we would understand the effect of sin that really plagues our life in so many ways. If only we understood. There's a reorientation, right? A reorientation of our thinking in this. And so it comes as a prayer almost, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is such a great verse. I love this verse. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, when we ignore reality, when we just pretend that reality doesn't exist, how does that work out for you? How does it work out for you, like with, you know, your job? If you pretend that you don't actually have a start time for your job, how's it going to play out for you when you show up at whatever time you feel like? When we pretend that we don't actually have limits on how much we can spend, how's it going to play out for you if we just ignore the reality of what our bank actually tells us? When we ignore the reality of the number of days we have, how does that play out for us? We just perpetuate the chaos. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When God starts to reorient our thinking, when he helps us to actually number our days, then we start to gain this heart of wisdom. We start to see time through new eyes. We start to understand our reality through new eyes. I remember listening to Andy Stanley talking on this psalm. And he talked about a study that was done with people who were kind of at end of life. So they were in palliative care and literally had weeks left. And it was amazing in asking them a number of questions, just about their perspectives, about all sorts of things, about if they wish they had done things differently, what they would have done. It's amazing how much clarity is brought when you understand you don't have much time left. When you number your days and understand that my time is limited, I mean, for some people, they know exactly what it's limited to. I got a pretty good idea. I'm probably not making it much past 70, 80 years. So if I start to think of it in those terms, how's it going to change what I decide to make a priority today? It can bring clarity to start to understand that our time is not unlimited. Teach us to number our days so we may gain a heart of wisdom. We might have a better sense of how we should use the time we have now. So understanding that God is eternal, and understanding that he is the one who's creator over all things, the one who is actually powerful for all things, and understanding that our time is limited, both of these things can really help to reorient how we think about the time we have. We understand that God is not this wimpy little God that can do nothing to help us, and this one who is just letting history unfold because he has no control. It's not what's happening here. We can also understand that our time is limited, so we can gain clarity about what's actually important for how we use the time we've been given. Reorienting our thinking around the fact that God is eternal and we are limited can change everything about how we spend our time. Now, it's not the only part that the psalmist talks about, though, in terms of finding calm in the chaos of our time. He finishes off his psalm with a number of requests or supplications to God. So let's just read the last couple verses here again. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It comes to the end of the psalm to request God's mercy. Turn this around. Like, we've been suffering and just going on in this hardship for so long. Let us see as many days as we've been suffering now in with your favor, O Lord. Let us see it with joy and with gladness and songs. Turn this around for us that we would experience joy. If you read the story of Moses, you know that he faced a few challenges. His life was not an easy one. I mean, he was born into privilege, but he kind of blew that up when he decided to live with his people, and he went and murdered someone, ran away to the wilderness for decades. That's where God found him and called him and said, Moses, I want you to lead my people. He went back. People didn't want to listen to him. Pharaoh certainly didn't want to listen to him to let the Israelites go out of slavery. Finally, through a series of plagues and mighty acts of God, let them go, and then they wandered in the wilderness because the people were rebelling and causing problems for Moses all the time. I mean, man, he and the people faced all kinds of hardship through those years. He knew what it meant to struggle with the realities of life. And so he calls out for God's mercy, longing for an end to this hardship, longing to see God bless them, to bring his blessing and his joy, to see God's mercy shown. And maybe we feel the need as well in the midst of the circumstances we're going through right now, just to call out to God for mercy. To call out to God and say, God, enough with the struggle. Enough with the struggle, enough with the challenge, enough with things falling apart. Can we please have a season of favor and joy? Request for God's mercy. The great thing about where we live now on this side of history is that in so many ways, God has poured out his mercy for us now in Jesus Christ. He's already done much of what Moses called out to him to do in this psalm. By taking the wrath for the world and pouring it out all on Jesus at the cross. Satisfying his own wrath with Jesus substituting himself for us and taking the penalty for all of our sin, all of the sin of the world upon himself so that the wrath of God would be satisfied to bring about a season of blessing and life, to bring about new life for us that we get to experience in him. Throughout this whole series of finding calm in the chaos, I don't know if you guys are picking this up yet. This isn't about strategies. This isn't about, you know, managing your time better. It's not even about managing your money better. It's not about managing, you know, your anxiety or worry better. It's not about any of those things. It's about starting to reorient our thinking around who God truly is and who we truly are. To put us in the right seats. Instead of us being in the seat of control in our life and God being the one who kind of throws in some help every now and again, shifting those places to understand God is the one who is in charge and we are the ones who are his sons and daughters. Allowing him to have that space of control, allowing him to have that space of authority in our life. That's really ultimately what does this about bringing calm in the chaos of all these areas of our life. We talked about it in the first week. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, wear, drink, whatever. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All this other stuff's going to be taken care of for you. In terms of our time, again, we see it here in the psalm. Remember, God is eternal. Recognize the reality of who you are and your time being limited. Recognize that. Reorient your thinking around who God actually is. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We'll understand this better. And, oh God, we call out to you for mercy. And we thank you that mercy has been shown to us in Christ. We understand that God is the one who is God and we are not. And as we get that, and as we get that God's actually in charge of all of history and that he's good, we start to find a bit more sense of calm in the midst of the chaos of our time. So as we respond to the psalm today, I want to kind of give three things to invite you into as you reflect on this, as you think about it, as you think about what God's been saying to you through this psalm today. So three points of response today. And you can work these through, if you want, during our time of response as the team leads us in some music and as we do some other things, because that's directly connected to what we're going to talk about right now. So three things in response. First one is this. Reflect. Think about where it is that you are currently feeling the pinch of time in your life. Are you feeling this because you are just so busy? Or is that the crunch for time that you're feeling right now? Is it the busyness? Is it kind of gone into a sense of hurry now, where you're actually feeling anxiety about the time you have? Have you, during the service today, been thinking about what you need to get accomplished as soon as you get out the door? Because you have so much in your day today, or you have so much going on in your week this week that you just have to get stuff done now. Are you stressing about that constantly? Are you staying up late because you just don't know how you're going to get everything done? Is that the place you're feeling the pinch of time right now? Or is time maybe painful for you right now? Is it because of circumstances you're going through and, oh my goodness, time just seems to be dragging? You can see every second ticking on the clock. Sorry, that's the wrong way for you. Ticking on the clock. And it's just going slow. Are you feeling the pain of life right now? And it has just made everything seem to stop. Is that where you're feeling the crunch of time? Or is it just going too fast and you feel like, oh my goodness, I am going to miss out. There's just so many things going on in my life right now. So many fun things, so many good things, so many things with my family, so many things with my job, so many things with school. I am just going to miss out on all the good stuff that's happening. Is that where you're feeling the crunch of time? take some time to reflect. Where is it that you're feeling the crunch of it? Because that may also help answer the question, where do you need to see your thinking reoriented? Is it a matter of seeing that you need to let go of control and let God actually have the captain's seat? What is it that you need to do? So take some time to reflect. Second thing in response, pray. Maybe specifically, join in the prayer of Moses. I mean, this is a pretty incredible prayer in a lot of ways. It's a lot of great things in there. Maybe there's a line that just stands out to you to go, oh my goodness, this is it. I totally get that I just have, you know, the struggle of life, or I totally get calling out to mercy and for a season of God's favor, whatever it is. Join in the prayer of Moses. Maybe ask God to reorient your thinking this morning, how you view life. Maybe call out to him for mercy and let him show you how he has given you that mercy in Jesus Christ. So pray, call out to God, spend some time talking with him about this. And finally, remember. We talked about remembering that God is eternal. Well, I want to call you to remember something else this morning. To remember the mercy of God that he has shown to you already in Jesus Christ. He's shown you his mercy through the death of Jesus on the cross by pouring all his wrath that he had for the whole world, all the sin of the world. And I think sometimes we say those kind of words almost too flippantly. But start to think about all of the brokenness that exists in our world today. If you want, pull out your phone. Flip through the news. See what's going on. We see that there is so much brokenness and the effects of sin are all around us. And God took all of that stuff, all of the cause for all of the brokenness in our world, all the sin that goes on, all the hatred that goes on, all the murder that goes on, all the envy that goes on, all the adultery that goes on, all the brokenness in relationships that goes on, all the lying that goes on, all that stuff, he took it all and put it onto Jesus. All of God's wrath for all the brokenness, all the screwing up we've done of his world, he's thrown on the shoulders of Jesus at the cross. And Jesus took the penalty for all of it. And I don't know about you, but I don't need to scroll a news feed to see how sinful the world is. I just need to look in the mirror. So remember, actively remember, the mercy of God that he's already shown to you in the coming of Jesus and the death of Jesus for you. Remember that he's already shown you incredible mercy as you call out to him. And he's just inviting you to live more into the life that he already has for you.